That's the testimony of Jesus, and there he stayed until it was time for him to appear unto Israel. And there the testimony of Jesus, we can hear the testimony of Jesus, we can hear the spirit of prophecy coming out of John the Baptist as Jesus comes walking by the river Jordan, and John the Baptist speaks out the words as if he knew who he was. How did he know who he was? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, and out of John the Baptist's mouth go the words, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." And all the eyes are turned toward Jesus. See him there as he walks to the river Jordan and says, "I need to be baptized." And down into the water he goes, and there he is baptized by John the Baptist. And the Bible says that the heavens were opened up, and the Spirit of God descended upon Jesus like a dove. And there was a voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That's the testimony of Jesus, my friend, this morning. The unveiling of his very life, the testimony of Jesus. How that he walked for 3.5 years upon the earth, and he lived a life before men, a life that was spotless, a life that was pure and holy, a life that was perfect before his Father. How he went about doing good things wherever he went. How he reached out and healed the lame and made the sick well again and cast devils out of those that were oppressed of demons. That's the testimony of Jesus, the mighty works of Jesus while he was here upon the earth during his ministry. That's the testimony of Jesus. But not only that, but how that he was taken there in the Garden of Gethsemane and brought before the judgment hall and condemned to die by the very words of Israel, "Crucify him, crucify him." Yes, that's the testimony of Jesus, and how that he submitted himself and walked up Golgotha's hill there and laid himself down upon the cross, and there being lifted up above the earth and being lifted up between God and between men, there he hung, blood coming down off of his hands and out of his feet. And later, by the piercing of the sword through his side, blood and water came flowing out. And there as he's on the cross and he looks down upon those who did crucify him and says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do." There's the testimony of Jesus, how that God became man and walked upon the earth and there was crucified on the cross and shed his blood, not man's blood, but the precious blood of Jesus was spilled out there on Calvary. And that blood has the power to save the souls of men today. And all who will take the courage to rise up and preach that simple gospel will see the power of God work in the lives of men and women. That's the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is the unfolding of his life while he was here upon the earth. But it doesn't stop there. Hallelujah. There they took him off of that cross and they put him in a grave. And there he laid for 3 days in the grave. But at the end of those 3 days, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. Yes, Jesus rose from the dead, and that's part of the testimony of Jesus, that God raised up his Son Jesus by the power of the resurrection, and God can do the same things in the lives of other people. That's the testimony of Jesus. But that's where we're not done yet. The testimony of Jesus goes on, and how that he was seen of men 40 days and walked upon the earth and there taught them and opened up their understanding, and they beheld things that they did not understand before as he shared with them the truths out of Isaiah and the truths concerning himself and the truths concerning the kingdom of God. And there as he stood on the Mount of Olives and gave the last words to the disciples and gave them the commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel, he ascended up to the Father, and there he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. And that's part of the testimony of Jesus. But it doesn't stop there, brothers and sisters, because after 10 days there at the right hand of the Father, the Spirit of God was given and was poured out upon the church. And that's where we come with Pentecost. And the Spirit of God was poured out on the church there at Pentecost. And what do you think came out of the mouths of all those disciples? But the testimony of Jesus. They went everywhere sharing all the wondrous things about Jesus under the anointing and the power of the Spirit of God. That's the testimony of Jesus, and how that he's still alive and working in the lives of men and women who are willing to repent of their sins and turn to God through the blood of Jesus. That's the testimony of Jesus. Now we can begin to see why John got in so much trouble. Brother Ross, take that testimony with you. Take that one along. What is the testimony of Jesus? The testimony of Jesus is also this, that salvation is in Him. Oh, that Satan is trying to stop the mouths of God's people from saying that salvation is in that Jesus that we just talked about. Oh, what an exciting thing to hear about Jesus and how He came and how He lived and how He died, how He rose from the dead. Oh, the devil wants to stop the mouths of those who will take then that testimony and carry it further and say, if you turn to Jesus, you can be saved from your sins. That's the testimony of Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. His name is Jesus, and He will save His people from their sins. That's the testimony of Jesus this morning. I believe that's the testimony that the Apostle John found himself on the Isle of Patmos for. That's the testimony that those saints found themselves martyred for. That's the testimony that the serpent was so angry about, and he turned and all of his forces loose on the seed of the woman who kept the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus. And if I could just separate those two a little bit for us now here in the middle of a message. And I think it's very applicable to where we live here in Lancaster County. Oh, there's a lot of people in this county who are living by some of the Word of God, but what about the testimony of Jesus? Oh, yes, they'll stand for the truth of the covering, and they'll stand for non-resistance, and they'll stand for many different things that are in the Bible, but what about the testimony of Jesus? Quiet in the land. God's people in the New Testament are not the quiet in the land anymore. We're the ones that turn the world upside down with the testimony of Jesus. It's with the testimony of Jesus that they turn the world upside down, that they got such a reputation like that. There is no other name. There is no other gospel. There is no other religion. There is no other movement that can change the heart of a sinner but the testimony of Jesus. If you're here this morning and you're lost and you don't know the joy, maybe you can't even relate to this service this morning. Maybe you wonder what's wrong with us. Maybe those kind of thoughts were going through your mind. I'll tell you what's wrong with us. It's the testimony of Jesus. Jesus saved us. We were lost in sin. We were undone. We were going our own way. And Jesus saved us by His power through the precious blood of Jesus. And we can't get over it. And if you think we're crazy, you just don't know what we know. The testimony of Jesus changed our lives. That's why we're so funny this morning. That's why we just kept singing and singing and singing and singing. It's the testimony of Jesus that salvation is in Him, and there is salvation in none other. Do you know this morning that the Lord Jesus can change your life from the guttermost to the uttermost? He can do that. There's enough of people in this room today that were in the gutters who can tell you He can change you from the gutter to the uttermost of His strength and power. He can do that for you. That's the testimony of Jesus. Not only that, the testimony of Jesus is the life that He lived. By that I mean the example of His life. God has been teaching me some things about this one, that the testimony of Jesus was the life that He lived, and showing me how clearly it is a cutting edge and a dividing edge between those who really want to live for Jesus and those that just want to go along with a nice lip profession about Jesus. Are we willing to walk the way He walked? Are we willing to live the way He lived? Are we willing to line our life up with His life? Now trust me this morning, I know we need the anointing of God's Spirit in order to line our lives up with His life. But we must be willing to line our life up with His life. Isn't that what it says in 1 John? That we ought to walk even as He walked. I think people have lost sight of that. We are to walk the way He walked. Jesus is our plumb line today. Not only is the written word our plumb line, but the living word is also our plumb line. What is a plumb line? Isn't that what you use in building? To make sure that everything gets built straight, that all the lines are right, that everything goes together right. Is that right, Brother Luke? Jesus is our plumb line. We take all the blocks and line it up with Him. Amen. Yes, we take them and line them up to the Word, but we also want to take them and line them up to Him. And God has been giving me some sweet meditations about that, and maybe you know it already, but you bear with me. I'm just a Baptist, and I needed to learn some things about that, about the life of Jesus. And it's been so sweet to me to meditate on His life and then take my life and line it up with His life and see how far away it is. But oh, the hunger that comes stirring within our souls when we're willing to look at His life long enough and say, I'm supposed to live like that. The way He walked, I'm supposed to walk. The way He talked, I can talk. The way He responded to the crowds, I can respond the same way. The way He responded in the midst of a busy schedule, I can respond the same way. It's been a sweet and a refreshing and an enlightening thing to me to meditate on the life that He lived. I would recommend it to you, Brother Ross. And I know you already believe this way. And I know it's already your heart. But I would recommend you fill your heart with the life of Jesus. Just fill it full. And after you have a clear revelation of the way He walked, then use it as a plumb line. Line it up. Oh, I wonder how many decisions would be made for us so quickly if we'd just learn to do that. Lord, I have a decision I need to make. Lord, did I respond right there in that situation? Bring the life of Jesus up there and line it up. Oh, no, I didn't. That's not the way Jesus would have done it. God, did I say the right words there? Bring the testimony of Jesus up there. Oh, no, Lord, I didn't say the right words. That's not the way Jesus would have done it. Oh, there's some sweet meditations in that. Sweet meditations. And God can use that revelation to influence every decision we make in this room. Put Him in your chair at devotion time in the morning. Let Jesus sit there in the chair for a while and ponder. What kind of devotion would He have had with the family this morning if He would have been here? Put the magazine in His hand and see if He would have read it. Give Him the hour you spent and see how He would have spent it, the brother said this morning. How much wasted time we have flittered away. Give Him the hour and see what He would have done with it. Oh, it's so clear, isn't it? It's so simple. We don't need a college education to figure that one out, do we? It's so clear. Just superimpose Jesus right into that scene where you got upset and impatient with the children. See how He would have responded. You see, God wants us to be transformed in His image. As we behold His image, God with His sweet finger wants to transform our lives into the same image. The image of Jesus, the image of Christ. Jesus can help us with our activities. Think with me. Picture Jesus this morning riding a three-wheeler. Can anyone do that? I can't. My Jesus wouldn't hop on one of those things and go ripping through the hillside. I can't picture it. Maybe you can. Maybe the Jesus you know would do that, but the Jesus that I know wouldn't do that. Can you see Jesus at the fair this morning? standing in line to get on the ride. Can you? I can't. I just can't picture it. Can you see Jesus flirting with the girl after the service? I can't. I just can't picture other things. Hand him the music you listen to. See if he pops it into the cassette player. You see how this comes right down to our own lives. The life of Jesus. Give him the cassette and see if he pops it into the tape. Hand him a guitar and some snappy music and see if he'll get up on stage and start strumming it away, singing his song. I can't picture it. Brother Ross, take the testimony of Jesus with you. You know, Brother Aaron, you spoke about being equipped. Well, that's pretty good equipping right there. That's pretty good equipping. You know, I guess if we just get serious about that one thing, it would change so many things in our lives, wouldn't it? Books we read, places we go, things we say, things we do, what we do with our time, it would just change so many things. And it is in the Bible for us to let it examine our hearts. It is in the Bible for us to pattern after the life of Jesus and the way he walked and the way he lived, what he did with his life, what he did with his time. And lastly, the testimony of Jesus is the claims that he made, and I'd like to turn to the book of John for this. We're just going to page through the book of John here, part of it. John chapter 6 is where we'll start. The testimony of Jesus is the claims that he made. He made some powerful claims in the book of John. You know what's interesting about the claims that he made? He started them all the same way with the words, I am. He used the unmentionable name of God. 8 times in the book of John he used that name. It caused him much trouble. One time they wanted to stone him for using those words. He used the words, I am. Remember there at the Garden of Gethsemane when the soldiers came to him and they said, are you Jesus of Nazareth? And he said, I am. And they all fell backwards. He used the unmentionable name of God. Just like God told Moses when Moses said, who shall I tell them? Father, what shall I tell them? Who shall I tell them sent me? Just tell them that I am sent you. And they knew what that meant. Well, Jesus began each one of these with I am. They were claims that he made. And there's power in that claim. What did he say? In John 6 and verse 33, we'll just read these real briefly. Not a lot before, not a lot behind, but just read them. Oh, that's not the verse. Is it 35? Yes, thank you. And Jesus saith unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. The testimony of Jesus is the claims of Jesus. Oh, what a claim he could make. I am the bread of life, and if you come to me, you'll never be hungry again. I'll satisfy your belly, and you'll never hunger again. I am the bread of life. In chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world, Jesus said. There is no other light than me. If you'll follow me, you'll not walk in darkness anymore, but you'll have the light of life. You'll be able to see in the midst of darkness. You'll be a bright and shining light in the midst of a dark world. I am the light of the world. The claims of Jesus. In chapter 8, verse 50, in the same chapter in verse 58, Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." What he was saying there was, I am, I was from the beginning, I am the eternal God. Before the foundation of the world, I was. Before Abraham was, I was. Before creation, I was. I am the first and the last, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and I am the end. I am the eternal God. Oh, such claims that Jesus made there. Before Abraham was, I am. But the testimony of Jesus is the claim that he made while he was here upon the earth. I am the door, he said. Chapter 10. Then said Jesus unto them again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. I am the door." A little bit further down, he said in verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Chapter 11 and verse 25, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." I'm going to read the rest of the verse. "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Those are the claims of Jesus that he made, and that's the testimony of Jesus. If you believe in him, though you were dead, you shall live. John 14, verse 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The claims of Jesus. And in John chapter 15, he said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." I am the true vine. What is he saying in all these claims? There's one simple thing that he says. By saying them all, we can sum them up in one thing. Jesus was saying, "I am it. If you have me, you need nothing else. I am the door, I am the light, I am the bread, I am the good shepherd, I am the light of the world, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the way, I am the truth, I am all these things. If you'll just come to me and receive me and live in me and feed off of me, you'll need nothing else, you'll need absolutely nothing." And oh, listen, if you're here today and you don't know our Savior, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't know what life is all about. Well, that Jesus was saying by all those I am's, he was saying, all you need is me. All in all is Jesus, and Jesus is everything, and that's all we need is Jesus. He covers the whole spectrum of life. You're discouraged, you need Jesus. Are you troubled today? You need Jesus to still the waters. Are you hurting today? Jesus can heal the wounds. Jesus is everything, and everything is in Jesus. I wish I had the poem, the song that A.B. Simpson wrote about Jesus. All in all is Jesus. Jesus is everything. Everything's in Jesus, and Jesus is everything. A.B. Simpson. Where did the Christian Missionary Alliance movement come from? Somebody saw that Jesus was all he needed. And he not only knew it here, but he knew it in his experience. And because he knew it as an experience, it was transferred into the lives of others. The testimony of Jesus is the claims that he made, but we can't stop right there. We need to take it one step further. Why were all these so persecuted for the testimony of Jesus and for the Word of God? Not just because they believed these things that we've just listed here, but because they were living in the reality of the testimony of Jesus in their own lives. They were not just believing those things, but they were living those things out in their own lives. They were not just going forth with a lip profession of the very things that we said here, but it was more than that. Jesus was in them. Jesus was in them, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus was alive in John, and Jesus was alive in the apostles as they went and scattered the testimony of Jesus all over Jerusalem. Jesus was alive in them, and that's why the testimony of Jesus brought persecution upon their lives. And Jesus was alive in John, and that's why the testimony of Jesus put him out on the Isle of Patmos, because he was alive inside of him, and Jesus was alive in those martyrs there, and that's why they found themselves in heaven early and gathered around the throne. And it'll be because Jesus is alive in us if we're ever going to give our blood for the blessed Savior. It'll be because Jesus is alive in us. And if he's not alive in us today, we will not bear testimony to Jesus by shedding our own blood. If he is not alive in us today, we will not die for him when the time comes. The early church prospered by it. This is how they prospered. The apostles were full of it. And I can't help but think of the martyrs who have died. You know, as we look back in history, Fox's Book of Martyrs and Martyr's Mirror, and we see, and we can read in there how those martyrs died. You know how they died. It was because of the testimony of Jesus. They believed it. They were proclaiming it. They lived it. They had it alive within them. And because of all those things, they could with dignity lift their voices in praise to God while the flames licked at their feet. They could proclaim with dignity the grace of God and salvation through Jesus Christ while the flames were licking at their feet. It was because of the testimony of Jesus. Oh, listen. The testimony of Jesus needs to be revived in this land where we live. Needs to be revived. It needs to be alive within each one of us. Brother Ross, do you want the breath to blow upon you in Woodbury? Stay close to this testimony. There's a flow of inspiration that goes with it. There's life-changing power in it. What am I saying? I'm saying the same thing in another way. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation for all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's just another way of saying the same thing over again. It's just another way of broadening the truth, the simple truth of the gospel before our hearts again this morning. That's all I'm saying. Think about the songs. Go through the song books and see what you find. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It's the spirit of inspiration. Go through the song books and see what you'll find. Jesus, 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 all through the song books. How come so many people got inspired to write about Jesus? Because the testimony of Jesus is the inspiration. It's the breath of prophecy. And may I say here this morning, it's the testimony of Jesus that is the breath on the church of Jesus Christ. It's the testimony of Jesus that brings the breath. That's why the churches out there, they've got it all in order, you know. This is in line, and this is in line, and this is in line. But where's the breath? That's why there's no breath there. What about the testimony of Jesus? How often do the men get up behind the pulpit and just preach about Jesus and get thrilled about His blood? How many times do the people rise to their feet in praise to God for the blood of Jesus? Not there. In so many churches, it's not there. And because it's not there, the breath is not there. The breath of God blowing over the congregation. It's not there. Everything's in line. But no breath. Can these bones live again? Yes. They can. Yes, they can. But it'll come by the testimony of Jesus.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 888-346-9199. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.